Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Thursday, October 10th, 2019. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. If it's Thursday, that can mean only one thing. 24/7 Sports Director of Recruiting, Steve Wiltfong, is here. Steve, how goes it?
Good morning, Daniel. Goes well. Smoothie in hand, extra green by Mrs. Kelly Wiltfong. Little fog here in Indianapolis, sending it down I-70 through Dayton towards Columbus.
Beautiful day here. The fog hasn't hit and the Nats are advancing, but I digress. Let's talk about the thing everyone came for. That's recruiting. Very simple show today. We're just going to go down a checklist. I'm going to give a name. Steve is going to provide wisdom. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Quarterback from Rancho Cucamonga. He was here this past weekend. His offer, which came a few weeks ago and we had to keep quiet, is now official. C.J. Stroud, what do you think of him? What do you think of the visit? Where do you think he'll play college football?
Recruiting's awkward sometimes with some of the things that can't be reported. But I posted on the front row that C.J. Stroud didn't had his Oregon offer for a while before he went public with it, kind of hinting a similar situation here with Ohio State. There was a lot of buzz about the Buckeyes' position coming into this visit. I think Ohio State has set the bar coming out. So that's where you want to be. That's the position you want to be in. You want to be in first going down the stretch here. Baylor's still very much in it, not recruiting any other quarterback other than C.J. Stroud. Oregon is in line for two visits for C.J. Stroud still. So we'll see what happens. But the current pulse of this recruitment is Ohio State, and so that's where my crystal ball sits.
Does he have a target date?
Nope. Not to my knowledge. I mean, it sounds like he's still going to take some visits and continue the process and get to know these coaches and find the best fit for him.
Would you take C.J. Stroud or Jack Miller?
Well, I like C.J. I think if you're Ohio State, you want to take them both. But if I was betting on which one would ultimately be the starting quarterback at Ohio State, I would go with C.J. Stroud. Sure. Ohio State needs two in this class. We've talked about it from a depth standpoint. And look, Jack Miller's been hurt a lot in his high school career. Let's see what a healthy Jack Miller does in Columbus with the Ohio State coaches as well. He's a guy that the Buckeyes targeted early. C.J. Stroud has really become the flavor of the month, but rightfully so, having an even better senior year than he did as a junior. He had a good junior year, had a terrific summer, is a big, strong kid with a lot of traits.
Provided these coaching staff remains relatively intact on the offensive side of the ball, I'm almost to the point where whatever quarterback Ohio State gets in this system, in this environment, in this culture, is going to succeed. The Dwayne Haskins example to me is amazing just because he was so successful at Ohio State in what is a fantastic culture, and he's just struggling mightily on a terrible culture with the Redskins. I'm so big on environment now for quarterbacks. I think it has a huge deal. Like, I'm convinced that if you invert the career so far of Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, the results will be similar on both sides, but I digress.
I'm going to jump in and say you take Dwayne Haskins, who was on one of the most talented college football teams, and then you put him in on one of the worst NFL teams and one of the worst cultures. I think that Ohio State quarterback recruiting is incredibly important right now for the stability of the program being a title contender this cycle, or I think that they'll have to go to the transfer market again.
Yeah, the transfer portal is a curveball now in every cycle that's going to probably determine a lot of things, but that's also why I think I would err on the side of taking more than less quarterback-wise, whereas back in the day, I was more concerned about the emotional state of the guys. I don't think you can afford to even do that anymore.
At least when you're Ohio State, if you're buying on the transfer market, if you're one of the the big dogs, the rich, Ohio State, Oklahoma, programs of those prestige levels. When you're on the transfer market, you have a good football team to market to a potential transfer, and your place is always going to be enticing to a free agent. But I think that if you're Ryan Day and company, you rather do it through the recruiting trail. And so Jack Miller's in the boat. You need a second one in this class. You'd love for it to be C.J. Stroud, and you get those two young men in your program, and they compete for it.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I think that was the original and probably the old school way of thinking, but they've had just as much success with Fields so far off the transfer market as you would with any first-year player coming in. And also, sure. Like I said about environment, this is another thing I should have known. Like, I was doubtful on Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma and performing well. And then now I realized, look, Lincoln Riley's no dummy. He wouldn't have taken Jalen Hurts if he didn't think he could turn him into something. And I think the Oklahoma and Ohio State cultures for quarterback right now, they are just adept at getting the best out of whatever they get. And like you said, because of the prestige of the program, they're always going to have a talented guy wanting to play there.
Jalen Hurts doesn't play well in like two games as a sophomore, and all of a sudden people forget he was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year as a freshman. And it's a tough world we live in when you have a bad ball game or a bad game. And people think you suck, and people think there's only three good teams in college football. And it'll be interesting to see who has the better pro career between him and Tua. And it, on a side nugget, Minshew almost goes to Alabama to be the third string quarterback behind those two. Last second goes to Washington State. He's starting in the NFL. There's no way in hell probably that he beats out Tua or Hurts if he goes to Alabama. But could you imagine if he would have just went there for spring ball and competed with those guys? What if he would have looked better? Because theoretically, he's having a good pro career already. It's just wild that he almost went to Alabama. But those thoughts have been in my head. I haven't had an opportunity to speak that out loud yet. So the Bucknuts Morning 5 was my first opportunity.
You ask who's going to have a better pro career, Tua or Jalen. What I'm saying is if Tua goes to the Redskins and Jalen goes to the Chiefs, Jalen will at least start out. Back to the subject at hand here. Defensive end Tyler Barron took a visit. He was impressed. His father works at Tennessee. Now that they've had a little bit of time to compare the two programs and the visit buzz has settled down, what's your vibe on Barron?
Look, I thought coming in Ohio State had a legitimate chance, and coming out, I think Ohio State could land the young man out of Knoxville Catholic. He had a really good visit. He really enjoyed his time with Zach Harrison and the players on the team. You can tell he loves and respects Larry Johnson, spent time with Ryan Day and Jeff Hafley, among others. I think Ohio State's a place that he sees himself being very successful at. Kentucky and Tennessee are the other two in the mix. I asked Tyler if he was close to making a decision. He said no. I don't know why he's not close, to be honest, because he's taken officials to his final three. So, he's not taking official to Tennessee. So that may be the caveat, and they're obviously the crystal ball favorite, and his dad's on the staff in an off-field role at Tennessee. But my gut may even say Ohio State leads right now for Tyler Barron.
More momentum. Safety Ryan Watts was committed elsewhere, and now if you look at the crystal ball, you're going to have to feel he's going to end up in Columbus.
Yeah, that was an easy crystal ball forecast that night. It was reported he decommitted from Oklahoma. I got a little time with Ryan that night, and he told me Ohio State led. So you guys know I'm a current pulse guy on the crystal ball, so when someone tells you there's a clear leader, that's a layup. Banked it right in off the square for the Buckeyes. Now it's just a matter of when does he join the fold. Penn State's in is the other school in the mix for Watts. Ryan told me recently he was no longer going to be able to take his official visit to Penn State for the whiteout, which is next weekend. We'll see if he takes that trip or not. Last I spoke to him, he was not going to take it. Really like Ohio State's position for Ryan Watts.
I started to hear about him possibly flipping as I was watching Monday Night Football, and I don't think that's a coincidence. Any defensive back who watches the Saints on Monday Night Football and doesn't commit to Ohio State needs a new accountant. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with some running back chatter.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we're back. Running back recruiting has been the soap opera of the class of 2020. I'm not going to bore everybody with the details. Jahmyr Gibbs is a name we're hearing a lot lately. Do you see him as a fit?
Jahmyr Gibbs is an every-down bad MF-er, man. I mean, he is having a tremendous year in the state of Georgia. I believe he leads the state of Georgia in rushing. He's continuing to improve every year. He's one of the hottest seniors in the country on the trail. His ability to do everything. He's a big play guy and a guy that Ohio State certainly covets, and I think he'll get to campus here for a ball game and an official visit before the season's out.
Speaking of running backs and question marks, Kevontre Bradford, I long thought he was going to be the halfback in the class. Texas running back visited this past weekend. There's no buzz. There was one crystal ball after the weekend. It was to Wisconsin. Can you make sense out of this recruitment?
I think that Ohio State's still in the picture here. If they push for Kevontre Bradford, I think it was a good visit for the Lancaster High standout, and I think he saw a fit for himself at Ohio State. And you're the Buckeyes, and you have the number three recruiting class in the country. You have Jahmyr Gibbs on the board. You offered Mayan Williams recently. Perhaps you're talking to some other running backs. Maybe you're not in a hurry to take one right now, and you want to get some guys to campus and make sure that you take the right one.
Speaking of taking the right one, Lorenzo Styles is from Columbus. His father played football at Ohio State. He has an Ohio State offer, but a Notre Dame momentum building. Can you explain to us why he would go to South Bend over Columbus?
Throughout the process, I felt like talking to people around South Bend and Columbus that there was optimism around both camps. So it shouldn't be a surprise if Notre Dame pulls this out. We've had some experts in the 24/7 Sports Network that have been more on top of this one than me. Tom Loy wrote out his Notre Dame pick. I had a Notre Dame pick in February, switched it to Ohio State, and now I'm back with Notre Dame. A lot of that more on the backs of my colleagues here at 24/7 Sports, Tom Loy, Bill Green. Notre Dame hasn't won a national championship in the last 10 years, but they've been pretty damn good too. Obviously, they offer a lot to a student athlete on and off the field. And they've had some receivers drafted under Brian Kelly that are playing well in the NFL. See Will Fuller last week had a big game. I think that there's a lot of reasons why a young man would pick Notre Dame, and it looks like Lorenzo's trending towards Notre Dame. Now, I did talk to Styles after he visited Ohio State on Saturday, and he had said that this visit to Notre Dame on Saturday would be his last visit. So it looks like it's going Notre Dame's way right now, going into the trip, and we'll see what happens.
Ohio State is off this weekend. The Big Ten will continue to play football. We're going to get Steve's vibes here on two matchups. First one, 3:30 kickoff, Michigan State coming off the loss to Ohio State goes to Wisconsin.
I don't know how you could. I mean, I'm not saying that there's no chance Michigan State wins the game, but I don't know how you could pick them coming in with the way that Wisconsin's played at home this year. I mean, they absolutely have suffocated some teams this year, and they're 10.5-point favorites. I don't think Michigan State will play well and be in the game, but I like the Badgers. Ohio State rushed from us 400 yards against Michigan State, so it's not like that run defense that looked terrific in September is brick wall. And obviously Ohio State's got a terrific offensive line, and J.K. Dobbins and Master Teague and Justin Fields who can move the sticks with his legs too. But that's still a lot of yards for a team that's supposed to be a run-stuffing D, and now they go and face Jonathan Taylor on the road. I would imagine Wisconsin will have some success running the ball against Michigan State too.
I hear you, but Wisconsin plays a much more traditional offense, and Michigan State matches up better against that. Michigan State has trouble
with
Ohio State's getting spread out by that speed, and it's just not the same. And I don't think by any stretch the quarterback, Jack Cohn, is the threat that Fields is. Cohn's the one to me that has to prove he can do it. Okay, yeah, big game, 7:30 p.m. Penn State goes on the road to Iowa. Now, if this was a noon game, I'm not sure who I'd pick. You go to Iowa at 7:30 at night, that's kind of their Super Bowl for the year. They're not going to have a more high-profile game. What's your vibe?
Well, Penn State won this game in a similar setting 2 years ago with Saquon Barkley having just an outstanding performance or made some big plays in that game anyway. In what was a slugfest, low-scoring slobber knocker, if I remember correctly. I think that Iowa comes into this game kind of similar to the way Michigan came into the Iowa game. You come off an embarrassing loss to Wisconsin. You get Rutgers in between, which maybe helps Michigan. Michigan wins 10-3 over Iowa at home. Iowa needs this one against Penn State. I'm still going to take the Nittany Lions, but I think it's similar settings. I think Penn State's just incredibly talented. Now, there's been moments this year where they haven't been a dominant football team, but they got playmakers in that running back room and receiver room. They have one of the best tight ends in the Big Ten in Freiermuth. On defense, they're stacked, they're big, they're long, and they're athletic on all three levels. They got pass rushers. Yetur Matos, he's not Chase Young, but he's a first-rounder. Shaka Tony, Micah Parsons is going to be a high draft pick when he comes out. They got guys. I think they're the second-best team on paper in the Big Ten. And I kind of, as a fan, it'd be interesting for Penn State to win to set up an undefeated Ohio State-Penn State game down the road. Now, Iowa's also got A.J. Epenesa. They got NFL guys on their offensive line. I'm stunned that they gave up 8 sacks, 13 tackles for loss on offense against Michigan last week. I thought Iowa would win that game in Ann Arbor. And if you would have asked anybody, hey, Michigan only scores 10 points, do you win in Ann Arbor? I think almost everyone would say, yeah, Iowa wins that game. What a performance by Michigan's defense. I was just stunned at the way Iowa just let things happen in their backfield. And there were a lot of penalties in that game, too. We'll see how Iowa plays this weekend. I think Penn State's the better team on paper.
Nate Stanley, the quarterback for Iowa, was terrible in that game. There are some games you play, if your quarterback is going to play that bad, you aren't going to win. And to echo your compliments of Penn State, when I look at Ohio State's schedule, the one player that scares me the most is KJ Hamler. There's not another player on the schedule, even your Jonathan Taylors of the world, that I think will give Ohio State too much trouble, but he's the one in open space that can run away from Buck, and that makes me nervous.
Sean Clifford's development, will be key for Penn State this year because they got the guys around him and he's played well in the last couple games. He's going to have a challenge at Iowa. Then they get Michigan for the whiteout game and then they're in East Lansing. So it's a 3-game stretch for Penn State where we'll see if they're a legit 5-0 team or if it's a little smoke and mirrors. But I think they're talented. We ranked a lot of those guys high coming out and they've certainly looked good at times this year.
Sean Clifford, another proud Ohioan, you have to imagine that game is going to be huge for him personally. We will hope it's good for the Buckeyes. We hope you enjoyed the show. We appreciate you stopping by. Have a good one, Bucknutters.
Take care. See you on the front row.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.